Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 13th chapter of Mark's gospel, verses 1 through 9. It is a lectionary reading for this Sunday. And as I read these words, listen for something that is being spoken into your life and your heart at this point on your faith journey. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginnings of the birth pangs." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, 3 weeks ago, our gospel lesson included these verses. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Do those verses sound familiar? Do you know those verses? Sure you do. Sure you do. Following his baptism, Jesus returned to Galilee from Judea, and he began to tell people that the kingdom of God was dawning. It was dawning in their world and in their lives. In other words, God was breaking in. God was breaking in, and he said to them, "The time is right now. The time is now. It's time to change the direction of your life. It's time to reorder your life so that you might be a beneficiary of this new movement of grace." But as we know, Jesus did more than just talk about the kingdom of God. He actually went out and he invited people to be part of this act of reordering. He said to them, "Follow me," and they left everything and they followed. Jesus said, "Walk this path of life with me." Okay. Simon and Andrew decided they would walk with him. James and John decided they would walk with him. Thomas decided to walk. Matthew and all the rest of the 12. And then after them, the next generation decided some of those would walk with Jesus. Down across the ages, the invitation has gone out. And down across the ages, some have said, "I will walk that path with you." And it made its way all the way down to this very place here today. Friends, the call of those first disciples by the Sea of Galilee, the call of the fishermen, is emblematic of all calls of discipleship. At its heart, this call of discipleship is a call to order, to order. It is a call to a new way of living, and it is our call. Unfortunately, far too many of us have had difficult time maintaining this order in our lives, or maybe even establishing it initially. And as a result, our living seems to flounder rather than flourish. We want life, and we want it abundantly, but it's elusive. It is elusive. At the end of the first century, less than 70 years after that call of Simon and Andrew, the author of the Didache wrote these words from a community that was struggling to figure out its new faith. And I shared these a few weeks ago. "There are two ways, one of life and one of death, and there is a great difference between the two ways." I paraphrased it this way. There are two ways of going about doing things. One leads to wholeness and abundance. Another leads to self-destruction. So choose wisely. Choose wisely. In other words, two ways to order your life. As I suggested 2 weeks ago on All Saints Sunday, we begin to move down that reordered path of life by looking back whence we've come. We begin the reordering task by looking back across a year, back across the years of our lives, and identifying those individuals that taught us about the nature of life. Identifying those folks who taught us about authentic living, about the nature of faith. They taught us about what a life well lived should look like. They laid the groundwork for the ordering of our lives. They are our saints, and we need to claim that which they so graciously offered to us through their lives. So remember your saints. We talked about that. Remember them. Name them each and every day. After we look back, we need to pause for a bit of perspective. It's easy for our ego to get control of our thinking. And once it gets a good foothold in our soul, we really start to believing that we are it. It, all caps. And to go back to the cartography metaphor we used a few weeks ago, once the ego assumes control, we truly believe that we are not en route. We are not moving toward a more perfect destination. No, we have arrived. It is just this sort of suppression of humility that undergirds a disordered life. So thankfully, across the years, our saints, as well as the vicissitudes of our lives, have been gracious enough to offer us a gift of perspective. That perspective is this: God is God, and we are not. Simple enough. Friends, with that perspective comes the immediate recognition that our lives are a gift. It's all a trust. Everything. We are stewards, and at its heart, stewardship is about order of things. God is God, and we are not. As a result, we live responsively. We live in response to God's grace, and that's why it's perfect that one of the earliest, if not the earliest practice of the church, was the Eucharist, the thanksgiving. Okay. We are people of thanksgiving, and we always have been. Thanksgiving orders our lives. And if it doesn't, it should reorder them. One week from Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. 2 weeks from today, we begin Advent. It's time, folks. We're going to attempt to rein in that which threatens our well-being. We are going to reorder things, and this is the perfect time to do it. We've talked about the tradition that helped to shape us. We've talked about maintaining perspective and how that perspective offers us an organizing principle of thanksgiving. So now, with less than 2 weeks to go, it's time to get organized. Organized. Hold that in mind, I went in search of direction. How do you begin to get organized? How do you do it? Well, there are websites for everything, folks. Type in how to get organized, and there's about 10 million pages. Well, I found a website about organization. It said this. It said the first thing you need to do in order to get organized is to reclaim your space. Reclaim that space. And you do this by first of all figuring out what's actually in that space. Okay? It's perfect. What's in your space? Inventory. Then you start getting rid of those things that are unnecessary. And also, at the same time, relocating things that are of central importance that may have gotten misplaced. And I love the following statement. And maybe this is a key line from this website. Organized doesn't just mean tidy. That's good. Think about that. That's perfect. We don't just want to reshuffle the chaos of our lives. Tidy it up a little bit. No. Now, we want some real and sustainable change. The organizational website made this point. The purpose of organization is to be able to find, exchange, and evaluate items quickly by providing a quick, logical way for adding and removing items. Hold that thought. As most of you know, I am not crazy about cold weather. Today was brutal for me. Hot is wonderful. Cold, not so wonderful for me. Anyway, last week, Alana sent me an article entitled, "The Norwegian Secret to Enjoying a Long Winter." Friends, and I know I'm not pronouncing this word correctly, but you'll have to bear with me. Tromso Norway is up there. I mean, as in extremely north. In fact, it's so far north that from late November to late January, the sun never rises above the horizon. And the location of Tromso is very intriguing for those who study seasonal affective disorder. It is intriguing because one would expect to find an elevated rate of seasonal affective disorder in a place like Tromso. But that's just not the case. It's just not the case there. So PhD candidate Carrie Leibowitz went to Tromso to find out why. And she was anticipating asking this question: why aren't people in Tromso more depressed? But the more time she spent there with the people, the more she realized that that was the wrong question to be asking. She reports that when she asked people, why don't you have seasonal depression? The answer was, why would we? Why would we? Liebert writes this: it turns out that in northern Norway, people view winter as something to be enjoyed, not something to be endured. And that makes all the difference. The point of view, the perspective makes all the difference. So when we begin to view our lives as a gift for which to give thanks, and employ a Thanksgiving metric to find, exchange, and evaluate the behaviors of our lives, providing a quick, logical way for adding and removing behaviors, it makes all the difference. It organizes our lives. It reorders our lives. 1 week from Thursday, many of us will celebrate Thanksgiving. And part of that celebration will involve the rehearsing of the tradition. We will retell the story. Our story. And many of the props we will use to tell that story will be those we have used year after year after year. Turkey. Stuffing. I can't believe the kids didn't say stuffing. That is the first thing I thought of. Sweet potatoes. Pumpkin. Pies, as we heard down there. Football. Parades, and on and on and on and on. And for the most part, the story will be the same as it's been year after year after year. Some parts will be omitted. A few or newer parts will be added. But in essence, it's the same story. Do you remember the year it snowed on Thanksgiving? That'll be something you will tell. Do you remember the time great-grandma made her apple pie? Do you remember the time we forgot to turn on the oven? You know, that sort of thing. Do you remember the time, whatever it is? It's the story of our lives we'll be telling. It's a story of God's grace. It's a story of Thanksgiving. And as we rehearse it, it changes us. It changes us. It reorders our lives. This is not a new practice. No, it's been going on for millennia. You remember these words, these ancient words, don't you? You can find them in the book of Deuteronomy if you want to look. You shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God has given you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time. And when the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: a wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruits of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Wow. Rehearsing the story. In 2 weeks, we'll rehearse the story again with these words. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Friends, reordering our lives is not about changing everything about our lives. No, it's about changing the perspective of our lives. It's about raising our awareness of the permeating presence of God, and consciously and intentionally asking, how is this practice of my life an expression of thanksgiving? And if it's not, it may need to go. And if it is, it may need to assume a central position. It is about rehearsing the story. And this is the story summed up in our Old Testament lesson today. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.